Why we hate the is. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Why we hate the is. The is something that is very impersonal. The is something that is very difficult to describe, to be, and it has no personality. It has no warmth. It has no charm. It has no delight about it. It has no humanness about it. The is a cold fish. The is a cold, objective consciousness that we don't like at all. And yet, we know that that's what is our reality. Now, we have taught ourselves to live in a world where life is a harmonious place, where life is a joyful place. We taught ourselves to live in a world where there's an interaction between people, between beings, and that this interaction is an interaction of benefit or non-benefit, of love or non-love, or attitude or non-attitude. Whereas in the is, all just is. All is without any relative relationship. It's like saying we have three bananas lying on the table. And these three bananas lying on the table are each and is. But then one person takes the banana and he is 5 years old. And he takes that banana and he rips off the skin and then he squishes the banana in his hands and it goes squirting out his fingers and he's saying, "Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy." And his older sister says, "Now look what you've done. You squished the banana. Who wants to eat that squishy banana?" And the younger boy says, "I do." And so he licks his fingers and he eats the squishy stuff coming out of his fingers and he eats the gushy, mushy stuff and everybody says, "Yuck, yuck, yuck." And they're all just judging. And the little boy says, "Oh, that tastes so good. Can I have another one?" And everybody says, "No, you don't know how to handle them." And so the girl takes a banana and she takes the skin off very properly. And as she takes the skin off, she holds the banana all bare and naked in her hand. And then she takes it to her mouth and she takes a bite and she says, "Oh, that is delicious." And she eats the banana in a proper way for a grown-up girl to do. And then her father comes in and says, "Oh, is there a banana for me too?" And there is the third banana. And so he reaches for the third banana and his wife says, "No, dear, I'll fix it for you." And so she takes the banana and she takes the skin off and then she slices the banana into very proper slices, each one about a quarter of an inch or third of an inch thick. And she puts them into a little bowl and then she puts some milk in there and she puts some sugar over the top of it. And she says, "Here, sweetheart, this is what you'd like." Now the children are looking on with awe and they're saying, "My goodness sakes, hey, that's neat. Can I have a banana like that?" The little boy asks. His father says, "Son, anything I have is yours." And he gives the little boy his dish of bananas, all sliced up beautifully with the sugar on top and with the milk and so forth. And the little boy takes a spoon and dips out little banana by banana and eats each one with grace and charm and magic and wonder. And everybody says, "My gosh, just a minute ago you squished them and now you're eating them like a gentleman." And the older sister says, "Oh, he's just showing off. He's just showing off because he's glad he's got daddy's bananas." And mother says, "Now come on, children. I have more bananas here. Let me bring them out." And so she brings out three more bananas. Well, pretty soon the other children come down for breakfast. And the family is all at the table. And everyone is taking their bananas and eating it in the way that pleases them. And everyone is looking at the other and saying, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, how about that? And judging to a little degree, but not like they judge the little boy and how he squished his banana. You see, our life is full of judgment. And this is a judgment of happiness. Well, isn't that sweet? Isn't that charming? Isn't that lovely? Oh, that's how a little boy would do it. Or that's how a father would do it. Or that's how a big sister would do it. You see, they're all judgments. And they all take us away from the one aspect of the is, which includes all those things. But the one aspect of the is the little boy of himself. He's being himself and having fun. And he's squishing up the banana in his fingers and is squishing out all over and making a mess out of everything, and yet he's eating it and enjoying it. Now, who is to judge that? Who is to say the little boy is bad? He is living in the is consciousness. He is living in the consciousness of the now. He's living in the consciousness of the now, of doing that which he does, and yet, if we could really envision what he's doing, we would see each little squish of that banana and is, each little shred of that banana that comes oozing out there, that's an is. That's an is complete at that instant. And then as the little boy eats it, that's another is. Everything is an is. Every instant is an is. Every moment, every action, everything that isn't his. But you see, what humanity loves to do, humanity loves to have the motion picture. We like to have the ability to tie together all these is's into a fabric. We want to make it into an experience. We want to make it into something that has validity and reality for us. And in truth, it has no validity and it has no reality. It's like an ethereal music in our minds. It comes and goes. It's here and it's not here. But the is always itself. It's always itself. The is could best be described, for our thinking about it, as a picture, a photograph. The photograph is complete in itself. It is a moment in time. It is a moment in the allness. It is an is in the allness. It's not the allness, but it's an is in the allness. Now, our motion picture might be, you might call it the allness, but it too is not the allness. Because the motion picture, though it describes what's going on, does not describe the attitude of the person taking the picture. It does not describe the chemical analysis that's going on within the film itself, and how the film is responding to light, and how the film is going to be further used and utilized on screens, on monitors, on TV screens, you know. These are magical things. There's the onness, the ongoingness, and the allness of our life is so broad, so vast, so unimaginable, that for us to try to say that any one of it is an is, we have to become so finite in our thinking. Because the is that exists is a finite completion of any one thing. And nothing is an any one thing. For as you might photograph the little boy squishing a banana, it is his fingers, it is the banana, it is the time breakfast, it is the place, it is the booker honors, it is the people who are observing what's going on. Each one is an is, and each one becomes so so simple and so complex, because the complexity is that it is devoid of anything other than itself. And the simplicity is that it is only itself. But the most simple thing, to know only itself, is the most difficult thing that we can imagine, because we have not trained ourselves in working with that is. Now, are we ready to work with the is? Not really. We hate the is. The is too particular, too definite, too finite. The is too unique. The is just doesn't allow for any of the fabric of human attitude. The is just doesn't allow for the allness. And yet, without the is, each unique is, the allness would not be. And the allness does not think of any is separate from itself. And it is filled with isnesses. And each isness is so unique. It is so frustrating because how can we think of anything without thinking of that which upholds it, that which reveals it, that which it is? It is like a symphony that's never completed. And yet, to complete it and say, this is one note. This is one note of the piano. Now, is that note loud? Is it soft? Is that note repetitious? Is that note lingering? Is that note an eternal note? Ah, the is. How we hate it. Well, rather than hating the is, let's just say it is, and live our life in being ourselves and having fun, knowing that we have an infinite number of isness in our world, and so what? Are we ready to think in the philosopher's code? Are we ready to think as the absolute philosopher would, of being totally untouched by anything? When you are, when I am, then we'll think about is's. And when we think about any is, it'll be a sort of a separate, sensitive thought that has no possession in any other way except to be what an is. Try that on for size. And perhaps you'll come up with some definitions of your own. I'm sure you will. But if you're playing the role of the absolute philosopher, remember, everything goes. Everything is. And you are. And I love you. I love you. I love you.